this is a topical issue because everybody wants to know where are we moving to and what is happening, and they're blaming it on the 30% needed to pass matric, and they also mentioning that, and this is a reality, a lot of our students come to the university and they are not prepared, you know, to sort of take on that first year, and they struggle. So this also the reality, of course. You've heard about the digital divide. In fact, it's so complex, but you know, global south and global north, and of course the countries like South Africa and, you know, a lot of the rural countries in the rural area of Asia and sub-Saharan Africa, together with Latin America, of course, you find that there's limited internet access. Yes, everybody might have a cell phone, but they won't have internet access. So in South Africa, for example, only about 37% of households can reliably say that they've got, you know, internet access. So these shortages, of course, also runs into the schools. You go to we go out practice evaluating teachers or pre-service teachers at different schools, and you can see the stark reality, you know, in the one school there's all the different gadgets what the students can utilize to improve or to give a lesson which is really substantial, whereas you go to another school, there's only a blackboard. Can you believe it? Most of the township schools just have a blackboard, you know, which is a green, they call it, it's a green board, but I mean it's a blackboard. Not even the whiteboards of about 10 years ago. So you're looking at the stock, the reality of the haves and the have-nots, and the big challenge for all of us, how are we going to actually, you know, sort of close the gap? Because if you look at dropout crisis of the 1.2 million learners, right, who started in grade 1 in 2013, only about half or 600,000 passed matric in 2024, that is last year. So a real pass rate of 50%, so about 50% of our learners fall off the track before they reach matric, Mr. Kenny.
Yeah.
So
in terms of the issue then of, the long-term impact, I mean, you're speaking from the perspective of a university lecturer, sort of on the cold face of getting these kids straight out of school, but there's also the long-term impact on the employability of these learners, and that certainly we've discussed from an economic perspective, the fact that the supply of jobs has significantly been decreased, while the demand for jobs have been increased. And so essentially companies these institutions are going to go, who's the best candidate? And many learners are simply not prepared for it.
So yes, if you look at where companies are moving to, it's all about AI, you know, and it's all about knowledge about, you know, how we're going to sort of do things with artificial intelligence. And if our learners are not, you know, into robotics and qualified for this, they will sort of just go into the employment sector where there's already masses, you know, and you're looking at the skills gap being widened. Many matriculants lack, you know, what they call critical thinking or technical skills needed in the modern economy. So that is a challenge. And like I said, like you mentioned, a lot of unemployment already among the highest among the highest globally. It gets worse. And economic stagnation, now you can see that they don't need certain stuff. And without a skilled workforce to create more innovative type of jobs, you're looking at things getting worse. And this might lead to social unrest, which, you know, it's crime is rife already, you know, everywhere you find. So these have offshoots because of not having an education system that is creating, you know, the possibility for all learners to sort of go through and get a decent job or a minimum wage at least, so that the person can have food on their table. So that is the major challenge. And of course, to combat this or to assist, you need public sector and private partnerships to sort of help each other. You know, that is, seems to be the way forward in South Africa, because government seems not to have enough money, you know. So it's important that big business should come to the party, and there must be, you know, that type of thing which people say is happening in smaller countries like we say Botswana, Namibia, etc. But then there should be more investment in teacher training, you know, and school infrastructure. You know, if every little business sector can come say, let's take Groenvlei and make Groenvlei into an economic hub or school infrastructure, make it sound, then people don't need to travel to go to, you know, the other side of the railway line, and they will save on costs also. But it seems that we need to take ownership of our local schools, and we need to, you know, in many ways, small things like having sports at a certain school. You might think, but what has this got to do with economic benefits? It's all about empowering and strengthening the schools that we have in local areas, and business coming to the fore, and making a child to be proud at school, you know, and a teacher to not to be scared to go into a classroom, and all that and more will sort of give us that hope much needed to build a better scenario, Mr. Kenny.
Do we need a curriculum overall, Dr. Issa?
Well, I, my view, a lot of people say, yes, we need to strengthen in AI type of thing. I would say we just need the basics, you know. We need the basic moral classes. You have your three R's, and it's all about respect and, you know, teaching learners or teaching students to respect themselves, to respect their families, to respect the educators, to respect the premises. And in that way, it's basic things that's needed to make us more humane, you see. Because, yes, the children of today are indeed the architects of tomorrow. But in order to transform, yes, we need lots of innovative things, but we also need the back-to-basics type of thing where you need to sort of at least create some sense of morality, you know, where I've been at the schools and students walk with cigarettes in the school. I'm not going to mention school, you know, high school. I came to practice teach last week. I mean, evaluate a pre-service teacher. You see half of the school is walking around and some boys are smoking, and I call them into the room and I say, come here, what is happening here? So I tell them, look, there's only one way out. There's two ways out, I tell them. Number one, if your parents are billionaires in this, and I don't think there's lots of billionaires in this area, I tell them, then you don't need a lot of education. You can just use your money and you can thrive. But if you got no money, the only way out is Ikra, is to read, to study, to do research. And that is a way of making a better society also. So those are the challenges that our youngsters are faced at school. They need to realize that education, you know, is an important asset for them for the future. And they should preserve it as a piece of gold, you know, as a diamond. Because if they don't have that, there's no way else. If you're not a billionaire, then you won't be able to educate yourself on your own. So it's important that we build our schools, treasure our communities, and there must be a hand in glove, the mosque, the church, the school, the social other activities happening, that we all need to work hand in glove together so that we can set up a better environment. Otherwise, we're going to lose the youngsters, we're going to lose our community, and we're going to be in for lots of rough riding.
Yeah.
That is the hot button issue that we're facing, Mr. Kenny.
Yeah, no, certainly. Look, I think Dr. Issa Shukran, firstly for your insight on this, it's certainly valuable from the perspective of where you sit. And I think, like you said, it's a conversation that we must continue having. It mustn't stop after this discussion, after this morning show. It's a conversation that we must continue having. So I thank you so much for your time in helping us make sense of it.
No, shukran to you, Mr. Kenny. I just want to end off with a quote from the famous Malcolm X, of course. Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.